Team preaching is greatly simplified when both speakers are in agreement regarding the subject, desired response, how-tos, and how long of the sermon. Welcome to the SermonCoach.com podcast. That's our key sentence for this visit. I'm your host, Dean Wilson. We're talking today with Dr. David Maines, the executive director of SermonCoach.com. It's our desire to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. David, you and your wife, Karen, team taught a lot when you were on the radio. Do you still do that every so often?
Every so often is fair. We were on the radio 6 days a week, so we did it a lot, and we don't go out and speak that often now, although after I leave here next week, we will go to a college and we will team teach together there. I'm aware, Dean, that that term team teaching is not understood necessarily by people who hear it the same way I understand it. When Karen and I team teach, we are standing next to one another, taking turns talking, and we're all going in the same direction, so we know exactly what we're going to say, and it's seamless. So even though we rehearse it, it may be that though I said one thing one time, she may say it in the actual presentation, but it's crafted that it's two minds coming together as one. I say all that because in the church where I was recently, I suggested to a young fellow who wanted to preach but was never going to get opportunity in that given church. I said to him, would you like to team teach with me sometime? Oh, he was thrilled, absolutely thrilled. So I said, okay, we'll work on it. I've been asked to speak in X amount number of weeks away. And I met with him in a restaurant. And then I realized that he didn't mean by team teach what I meant by team teach. What he thought it was we were given a text. I would talk about it for half the sermon time, and then he would talk about it for half the sermon time. And I said, no, that's not really what I have in mind. What I have in mind is that we will together decide what our subject is, what the response is, and so on. He kind of acted funny about that, and he didn't know, he had never seen that before. And he would really like to be able to just say what he wants to say, and he's not used to figuring out ahead of time what he was going to say. He just kind of gets up as the Spirit speaks. So I said to him, okay, let's just give it a little time. We'll meet in another week. This is what the text is, but could we just figure out the subject of the text now? And what is the text about? I could not get him to work in that framework at all. And so we met another week later, and I said, we're kind of at loggerheads now. And when I say team preach, and what I presented to the pastor, what I was going to do is different than what you think you're planning to do. And you're either going to have to submit to the way I'm talking about, or otherwise we'll just have to get you to back off. And he would not submit. And I said, well, you know what, I'm sorry because I probably embarrassed you and I didn't mean to do that. Basically, you're just talking about wanting a time to get up on your own and use that text. And it really doesn't have anything to do with me, so there's no team in it. And I'm sorry because I've led you astray in terms of what I had in mind. So it just makes it important in my mind to say when we're saying team preaching, we're talking about two people giving the same message, going the same direction, which is not easy to do. Karen and I have done it so many times, but we have worked so we are a unit as one. And it's those are very powerful times because when you get a husband and wife talking together, there's a double message that goes out, not only the message you're giving from the scripture, but how you relate to one another, which was one of the reasons with this young fellow. I didn't want to give a message that says, we're divided on this. He doesn't want to say the same thing I want to say. With Karen and with me, we work on it ahead of time, and we say, okay, we got the text that we were assigned. This is the subject of the text. We're early on deciding that. Secondly, we're saying this is what the text is calling for, or otherwise what we figured out is the best way to say the text is calling for it, even though it's not specifically there. So we have a subject, we have a response, and this is how we will help people by way of suggestions in flesh what we're talking about. It's the how-to. We also ask another question, which is the how long. If this is what we're asking you to do, about how long will it take you before you're beginning to say that's a part of my life? Is it going to take a day or two? Is it something that can happen quickly? Do you have to think this is going to take probably a period of months? If you say it's going to take a lifetime, there are some things that do take a lifetime, but that's not very helpful. You try to get some kind of a time frame for people to be able to master what you're talking about. It's hard when you're doing a single presentation like we usually do when we go out, as opposed to being in a pastoral arrangement where you have week after week to continue to remind people and bring them back. Then the time frame is easier to figure out. Anyway, when we're team preaching like I think of it, it's mandatory. that together we are on the same page and we're saying, this is what we're going to talk about. That's the agreed upon text. That's the subject. We can get into the subjects together. This is how we're going to do it. You may take that part. You may start the opening story if that's what we use. I'll finish the story. Here's how we're going to relate to each other. But knowing exactly what the answer is to those questions that are so key to us all the time early on, this is the subject. This is the response. This is the how-to we're going to give. This is the time frame. Knowing those early on, then we begin to kind of in our own different ways put a sermon together. Karen, she's very well read in terms of books. She will read 2 to 3 times the number of books that I read. And she pulls illustrations from all different places. So she comes in later and says, these are the illustrations I think work. And I say, well, golly, those are good. Do you mind if I pretend that's my illustration? Just so that all three of the good ones in mine don't stack up nearly. You know, I feel like yours are intellectual and great, and they're just really, really beautiful. Mine are more the ducky horsey type of illustrations, the Charlie Brown type of things. So we agree on what illustrations we agree on how we're going to play it back and forth and where we're going. Usually I will start the message and then she will come in. That makes people more comfortable, we found. If she starts it and then I come in, somehow that makes some people in audiences uncomfortable. So that's just something we've worked out. Usually when we come to the end, I will close the sermon. And if we rehearse it too much, it sounds like we've memorized it. We don't like to do that, but we do know exactly where we're going. And sometimes I accuse her of stealing the good lines, and she accuses me of doing the same. I did that because you took my line earlier. And it's, you know, not we don't do that in front of the people, but it gives us the outline we need. And it is amazing to me how you can read an audience when you're speaking, and you know when they're with you. And an audience is really with you when you team preach. And I think part of the dynamic, Dean, is because they don't know whether you're going to make it through or not. You know, they've never heard two people doing that together, whether it's two ministers, the minister from the Assembly of God Church and the minister from the Presbyterian Church doing it together. They've never seen it, so it's kind of interesting to them. Are they going to end up in a fist fight? What's going to happen? You know, it just is, it's different, and therefore it's more interesting. But even as a husband and wife, it has all kinds of messages that are going out beside just the message that is the spoken message. I found that women in the congregation, they'll come up and say, I was so pleased that you had Karen do that with you. That was really great, and you were both so in sync in everything that you were doing. So there are different messages that are coming along. But in the process of doing that, having a system whereby we said, this is the direction we're going. We're going to stick to that subject. We're not going to get outside of that subject. This is the response we're calling for. We know exactly what that is. These are the how-tos we're going to give. You probably will give that one because it's more a housewife type of illustration. I have illustrations I will give. Some of that is free float in the middle. I don't think it really, we don't pay a whole lot of attention to who talks more. We just get up and do it. And we affirm each other by listening closely to what the other person is saying, looking at the other person. We don't want to be all the time thinking, what am I going to say? You know, did she go too far in what she said so that she's stealing my material? That doesn't happen. But in that team preaching, it is powerful. It is very powerful. If somebody would say, can you come? And I would say, would you mind if Karen and I came and we team taught together? I would far rather do that than to do it myself. It's much more delightful, not only for us, but for the people who are listening.
Team preaching is really a dialogue, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's a dialogue, but it's not a free float dialogue. This is a dialogue of two people who know exactly where they are going together.
The unifying factor is that you have agreed upon a subject, the desired response, the how-tos, and the how long.
And there are actually times in the middle of all that just like any sermon, where somebody may say something that was not thought about ahead of time, in which case we roll with that pretty much. That doesn't happen a lot, at least not in terms of an extensive diversion. But that does happen. It doesn't bother us because we know, each one of us know, that we know the track that we're walking on. It would be very hard if we got together and said, okay, here are different ideas and we're going to get up and just see where it goes. That wouldn't work for us. I like team preaching, and I think that, especially for women, it is very meaningful to them to hear and to see how you relate together and how you love each other. That's a good thing.
Team preaching is greatly simplified when both speakers are in agreement regarding the subject, desired response, how-tos, and how long of the sermon. We're so glad you joined us for this time together. You found our sermoncoach.com podcast at our website, sermoncoach.com. That's sermon-coach.com. We have resources on our website to help pastors create effective, life-transforming sermons. And we invite you to join us for our next SermonCoach.com podcast.